This is strange this morning because at the risk of sounding very spiritual, but I really believe that God told me to preach the message I'm going to preach. And it's a message that I preached many, many years ago. Some of you old Bosconians might remember it. But I preached it many, many years ago. And it, as much as I wanted to depart from it, the Lord kept on bringing it back to me. So I know that I need to share it with you. So the title of my talk is Strange Instructions. And I want you just to start you off with a couple of strange instructions that we find around the world. Open the box before eating the pizza. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Do all that or give it to your mother. She knows how to do it. Strange instructions. Upper dry, operating instructions, checks inside machine for children, pets, and foreign object before loading and starting. And then the last one that was found in Africa is this. Please be safe. Do not stand, sit, climb, or lean on fences. If you fall, animals could eat you, and that might make them sick. Thank you. So we have some strange instructions, but I really feel that that the Bible is full of strange instructions. Take Jesus going to the pool of Bethesda and finding a man that's lying on his bed, paralyzed, and waiting for an angel to stir up the water so that he can be healed. And Jesus gets to him and he says, "Stand up, pick up your bed, and go home." And I'd have been the guy, I would have said, "Hello, paralyzed? No angel? No stirring of the water?" And then, of course, Jesus shows up at the temple and spits in someone's face and he says, "Go wash." That's a strange instruction. He gets to the tomb of a guy that just died and he says, "Let him out. Take away the stone." Strange instructions. There's a guy in the synagogue. Jesus gets into the synagogue on a Sabbath day. And the guy's got a withered hand. And you see, Torah would say that if you had a deformity like that, it was because you were a sinner. You had sinned. So usually what they did is they kept it hidden. So imagine the scene. Jesus walks in and he knows the guy has got a withered hand. And he says, "Stretch forth your hand." Now the problem with that is that you're in the synagogue. And there's a whole bunch of Pharisees with rocks in their hand that are ready to stone you to death. And when they stone you, you get stoned. Not in that sense. In the real sense. John chapter 6, he says, "Eat my blood. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood." Are you kidding me? Strange instructions. And then, of course, from the mountain, he declares possibly the strangest one. They ask him, "How do we pray?" "I give you the instructions on how to pray. Pray like this, Our Father." And immediately, silence, if silence could fall on an open country, silence fell because you don't say "our" to a bunch of Jews. I mean, do you realize who you're talking "our" to? We're surrounded by multitudes. There's blinds. They're lame, they're sick, they're deformed, they come from Decapolis, they come from Syria, and they come from the other side of the Jordan. Hello, the wrong side of the river? Not our. Our, not our, theirs. And then Father? Are you kidding me? Our Father? Our God, sovereign God, almighty King, all-powerful majesty, but not our Father. Strange instructions. But I think possibly the strangest instruction that the Bible gives us, right throughout, from the beginning to the end, in fact, 366 times the Bible gives this instruction, one for every day of the year, plus one in case it's a leap year. 366 times the Bible says, "Fear not." That's a strange instruction. I mean, there's an angel the size of a three-story building appearing out of nowhere.
Fear not.
Maybe for you it's simple, but for me, hello, you know, fear not. Jesus is asleep on your boat. Have you ever felt like God was asleep on your boat? No, none of you. Okay. But Jesus is asleep on your boat, and the boat is filling up with water, and the boat is sinking, and the first thing he wakes up, he says, don't fear. Fear not. Why did you fear? Hello, didn't you check the storm? Excuse me, I know you God and you float, but I'm a man and I sink. And this is bad. Don't tell me, fear not. Maybe to you is not bad. To me, it's serious. But this is one of the instructions, strange instructions, that the Bible is full of. And I want to start with reading a scripture that really started a message in my heart many, many years ago. And it's found in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 47 to 50. The story is as it is. Jesus went across the lake. They just beheaded John, and he was looking for a place to take a break from ministry. And but when you're Jesus, I guess you glow, so you can't really take a break from ministry. So the Bible says that multitudes followed him in the deserted place. And he was there by himself with all these disciples and everything. And he did what he had to do. And then eventually what happened is that he started teaching, and the people sat down and they were hungry. And we all know the story. Almost 20,000 people fed by a few pieces of bread and some fish. And after this great miracle, Jesus instructs his disciples and he said, guys, I want you to go back to Bethesda, to the other side. And I'll come as soon as I'm ready. And then he goes up on a mountain and he prays. And then the boat is out, and it says, the Bible says, in the early hours of the morning, in fact, the watch was the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 in the morning. So it's dark and it's cold. It says a storm broke up, and the waves were contrary, and they were really struggling. They were having a bad time. The doctor had come back with a negative report. The bank had phoned, you have 1 week to come up with the money or we repossess. The police had called in the middle of the night, your son has been caught drunk and driving. The hospital said, your daughter, something had happened. The storm was breaking, and your life was shaking, and everything was out of whack. And suddenly everything that the preacher said on Sunday morning went out of your brains because it didn't check. And I know that what we say is the word of God, and it should work. But sometimes our interpretation is different. And our experience is different. And I know that none of you here are busy rowing your boat against the waves that are contrary. I know you don't have a problem financially. I know you don't have a problem in your health. You don't have a problem socially. Your children glow in the middle of the night. And in fact, when they walk, they float. And every time your wife gets up in the morning, the angels sing, hallelujah, hallelujah, because your life is perfect. But just for the few of us that might somehow be in a boat that's struggling, Jesus comes walking on the water. And the Bible says that he would have walked past them. He would have passed them by. And I was wondering, was he perhaps waiting for them to call him? Possibly. Bible doesn't say. But eventually they think he's a ghost. Not a Holy Ghost. A ghost. Ooh, ghost. I mean, what would you think if you're busy? In Walker Bay, and then the storm and it's dark and everything, and all of a sudden you see someone lighting up like a lighthouse coming toward you in the middle of the ocean. You wouldn't go, oh, hallelujah, Jesus. No, you go, ah, ghost. Yeah. And so they were scared, they were terrified. And guess what he says? He gets near them. And he gives them instructions, strange instructions. Be of good cheer. Say what? Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I want to take you back to something that happened to me many, many years ago. I was in Zurich, and at the airport, we were waiting to take off, and the temperature was incredibly hot. It was in the mid to high 30s, and there was a thunder cloud, a thunder cell. Just you could see it from the inside the airport. You could see this towering thing, this huge, massive thing. Eventually, we found out that it reached up to 40,000 feet, which is a massive, massive thing, and. I've traveled a lot, and I still do. And there was a time when I was terrified of flying. It was a spiritual thing, and then eventually I got saved, and God liberated me from that. But when you see that kind of thing, and you think, okay, I'm just about to take off, and half of the sky is blue and free. And the other half is black and busy. You assume the guy up front in the plane is going to go through the clear sky. Not in my case. We took off. Yeah, in those days, the planes looked like that. Some of you don't remember that, but some of us do. And all of a sudden, the guy, bless his darling heart, goes straight into the clouds. And as we hit that thing, I am telling you, that big black, I mean, seriously? You're in a metal pipe, 5 kilometers up in the air, traveling at an increasing speed from 400 to 500 to 600. And you're inside that metal pipe, and they tell you in case of problems, oxygen masks will come from the ceiling. And when they do, put them on your face and breathe normally. And please put your safety belt on. Because when we hit the ground at terminal velocity, at least we can identify you because you're in a seat. I mean, seriously, I mean, that thing was up and down, sideways. I had a stuttering nun next to me that was going. I mean, the containers opened and stuff fell down. That was bad. Really, really bad. And you know, while I was there, I would have given everything, honestly, I remember, I would have given everything I possessed, which in those days wasn't much, but anyway, I would have given everything I possessed to hear some words, very particular set of words, from a very particular man, the guy up front. I would have given everything I had to hear this word, this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We are going through a bit of turbulence, but don't worry, we'll soon get out of it. I know what I'm doing. That would have been, I would have given everything to hear the guy up front is not scared. Because I don't care if my seat will serve as a floating device. Because by the time I hit the ground, I don't want to be near my seat. And Jesus, it's the same thing. These guys are on the boat. They're not on the plane, but they're on the boat. And everything is upside down. And everything is tipsy-turvy. And then water comes in. And like I said, the doctor said, no, sorry, what's-his-name is back. And no, sorry, your husband has left. And no, the children have gone. And yes, the police have caught them. And yes, this has happened. And yes, the economy, sorry, we have to let you go. And this and that and that and that and that and the other. And suddenly, all of a sudden, this guy shows up and says, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're going through a little turbulence. But don't worry. Be of good cheer. I know how to drive this thing. It is I. Do not be afraid. And literally, it's interesting because if you check in the original Greek, the phrase is actually, it is I, take courage, do not fear. And that it is I, it's the Greek phrase, ego eimi, which is translated anywhere else in the Bible, especially when Pilate asks Jesus, who you are? Are you the king of the Jews? What does he say? What does Jesus answer with? I am. So ego eimi is actually I am. And so what Jesus was saying, he's saying, guys, this person that's telling you not to fear is not just anybody. My name is I am, ego eimi. It's me, remember? The guy that created the sky, the guy that created the earth and the universe. And so he says, it is I am ego eimi. It's the basis of it all. The basis of the whole thing is that we don't have to do with a pilot that doesn't know how to fly this thing. You know, sometimes people say, you know, you crazy, you and your faith. And I'm going, yeah, sure. You actually put your life in the hands of a man 50 meters ahead of you who you don't know by the name of Pete. Who could have had a big fight with his wife. You don't know the guy up there. You don't know what he's up to. You don't know who he is. You don't know if he can drive this thing. You know nothing about the guy that's driving your plane. But you pay good money to place yourself in a seat that will actually carry you in a metal pipe to 11 kilometers up in the air at about 1,000 kilometers an hour for 10,000 kilometers across continents. And you talk to me about having faith? And Jesus says, I am. He says, I am. You're out of control. The plane, the boat is shaking. The water's coming in. Everything seems like there's no tomorrow. But I am. See, it's not me, I was. Because if I was, it could be a problem because today is today, and I was. And I'm not, I will be, because I will be, it's fine. You know, religion always tells you that God will do something, that God will intervene. That God, no. God has done it. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. I am. And so Jesus arrives and he says, I am. And then he says, take courage. Take courage. Literally, it's take courage. Literally, is pick up the courage. The courage that shook off the, you remember old Elvis Presley? Don't look at me with that face like I know. I'm ancient. But some of you might remember, I'm all shook up. You know, he used to do that thing where everything shakes. And all of a sudden, when your life is being shaken, when your life is being shook up, your courage is right there on the floor in the little puddle. All of a sudden, all the teaching, all the CDs that you bought, all the books, all the testimonies that you heard. I love it when people come here and give a testimony. It's fantastic. It's magnificent. But sometimes I think, well, what about the guy in the congregation that's listening to your testimony and it ain't happening for him? And his boat is sinking. And I know we're supposed to do it. But I'm thinking sometimes, you know, I look as a pastor. I have seen in my 30-odd years, I've seen beautiful people, magnificent people, believing people, demon-chasing people, spirit-filled people, fire-breathing people, whose boat sank. And I know when in the middle of the storm, you have to take courage. You have to physically bend down on your knee and take courage. And it's an act that you have to do. And I cannot do it for you. And I cannot give you a book. And I cannot give you a CD. I cannot teach you how to do it. I can only just tell you that taking courage doesn't mean anything else than trust. That's all. Just kneel down and trust. And you don't understand and you don't know and it doesn't make sense and it doesn't check with the doctrine and it doesn't check with the latest book. And nobody laid hands on you and you fell on the floor laughing and kicking and doing all sorts of things. And all that's happening in your life is tears are coming down your face and you're thinking, why me? And that's when you have to say, why not? And kneel down and pick up the courage and trust. And then some more crazy instructions. And forgive me for the word crazy, but crazy like for us crazy, not crazy for him. He says, it is I. Take courage. Do not fear. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, you see, you have this thing like you're eternal, so like you're totally in control of everything. So you're like floating up in the air and you see the whole thing from beginning to end. But I've got an horizon in front of me. I cannot see on the other side of now. I cannot see the next 5 seconds, let alone tomorrow, let alone next month. I don't know. And that's why Jesus shows up and he says, hey, it's me. Remember, I am. Remember me? I am. Take courage. Trust me. And do not fear. Now, fear is an interesting thing because fear, I believe, fear comes in four ways. Number one is those who are always fearful. Those that didn't come to church this morning. They are always fearful. I was born in Italy. I left in 1968, so I'm way, way, way more a South African than I am an Italian. But I go back to Italy on a regular basis, and Italians are always worried. And if they're not worried, they're worried because they got nothing to worry about. And they're always fearful. You cannot, you know, the other day, I mean, we see little kids like this, little Lydia, the other day, she came out of the office with a beautiful little doll this high with shorts and barefooted. And it was cold. And there was water on the ground. An Italian mother would have said, police, arrest him. is a child abuser out in the cold without shoes, without coat, jacket. You have not, the Italians are always afraid. Well, not all of them. And then you have the ones that are never afraid. Now, those are the idiots. I don't have any other word to say it, all right? Those are the ones that are just irresponsible. The ones that will say, look, ma, no hands, look, ma, no teeth. You know, those are the ones that just do crazy things just for the adrenaline rush. And you only remember, guys, you only see on YouTube the ones that survived. Remember? Then you have the ones that are afraid according to circumstances, and that's, I would say, most of us. Most of us, we face a problem, we face a difficulty, we face a moment of lack, and we're afraid. Martin was talking about the offering, and it was so apt, so real. My business goes well. And suddenly, I even want to give less than when my business wasn't going so well. Why? Because while the business wasn't going well, I felt the presence of lack. And now that I have, I don't want to feel it anymore. So I want to keep. I want to be secure in what I have so that I will not go back there anymore. And he just talked about trust. He just talked about raw trust. But that's the case for most of us. Circumstances. And then there's the ones that are not fearful because of higher instructions. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41, please? In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The prophet, hear these words from the Almighty. You hear the words, fear not, for I am with you. Now just imagine this. Imagine, okay, we were talking about a jumbo jet in the air. By the way, obviously we made it through, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So it was a case, even the nun eventually slowed down and started talking normally. But we're talking about the jumbo jet, we're talking about the boat in the middle of the sea. Let's assume that there's a lion that's charging you, okay? A lion of sickness, a lion of financial instability, a lion of problems with your children, a lion of difficulties in your marriage, just a lion of attack, a lion that's looking for your blood. And someone, he's just there, he's ready to pounce, and someone shows up next to you, and he looks at you and he says, fear not. And you go, why? For I am with you. To which you say, okay, follow me behind. Because only one of us needs to escape. No, he said, why should I not fear anything? Because you're with me. How many of you remember Dallas? Anybody old enough to remember? Put your hand down, John Mitchell. You were not even born when J.R. died. Anyway, Dallas, you remember when Bobby got shot? Okay, don't judge me. I wasn't saved, all right? Okay. Yes, you should have seen those faces. Anyway, someone shot Bobby, and for a long time, Bobby was a good guy of the whole, never mind. And somebody shot, and he was there in the hospital bed with all these pipes coming out of him. And Sue Allen, never mind, comes into the room and looks at him and says, Bobby, don't worry, it's going to be all right. And you know it, how? On what? Who are you? Why? Don't worry, I'm here. Who cares? Why don't you die instead of me? I mean, seriously, don't fear not. I am with you. Ah, but then comes the answer that says, be not dismayed, for I'm your God. Oh, now we have a situation. I mean, the lion is pouncing, and I'm by myself here, and somebody shows up and he says, fear not, I'm your God. Okay, you can handle this, I know that. But the problem with most of our teachings, religious teachings, is what? Will he do it? Because we all know that he can. But will he do it? Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. And then he says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Yes, I will do it. And on the strength of that, you can fear not. Not just because Mario said it from the pulpit. Not just because you bought the latest book coming out of the American's biggest church. Not just because you got the series from Dr. Rintintin speaking about seven ways out not to fear. No, because God said, fear not. I'm with you. I will help you. And so, what is the main message from the captain? Remember that we were talking about a jumbo jet in the storm and everything shaking, and the fact that all I needed to hear was, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We are going through a moment of turbulence, but do not worry. I know what I'm doing. I'll get us out of here. I would have given everything I had to hear those words. And Jesus uttered those words to his disciples on the boat on the Lake of Gennesaret on their way to Bethesda in the middle of a storm. Jesus said, it is I. Take courage. Fear not. Strange instructions. But what is the message from the captain? Number one, is temporary. It's temporary. We're going through turbulence, but we're going to come out of it. We're going to come out of it. Now, I don't know how we're going to come out of it, because once again, I cannot guarantee what you hear from the captain, because the captain is speaking to you. He's not speaking to me. He's speaking to me about my plane, about my boat, about my life. Now, you need to hear what the captain is saying to you about your plane, your boat, your life. And that is where intimacy with the captain comes into play. You better hear his voice. I am their shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. And that's the only thing. Don't give me words on a blank piece of paper, on a page. There's something greater than the millionth of a millimeter of depth of the ink on the paper. It's called the Spirit of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And the words of the Bible speak to you personally. Get in touch with the writer. Get in touch with the author. Get in touch with the captain. Hear what he says to you. And only then will you be able to hear, it is I. Take courage. Fear not. And believe it. And act on it. And so the captain says, it's temporary. It's temporary. It's not going to last forever. I can go through the whole community in Emmaus and ask everybody, and there will be very few people that will say to me, you know, this thing that I'm going through lasts forever. They might say, it seems like it's lasting forever, but sooner or later it's going to end. It is. So it's temporary. Number two, I know what's happening. You know, sometimes we have this idea that we have to inform God about our life. I know you don't pray like that, but I know a lot of people who pray, okay, God, this is what's happening. And God goes, no, really? Whoa, seriously? Sheesh. Gabriel, did you hear that? Where were you yesterday? Look what happened. Come on, get the guys together. Going up now. Come on. Give me a break. Either we have to inform him, or we have to twist his arm, because boy, he certainly doesn't want to listen to reason, does he? And so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to throw in some fasting just to make sure that you just listen to me. He knows what is that. Well, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said, hey guys, don't forget, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. Don't think that you're alone. When Jesus speaks about the sparrow falling to the ground or not falling to the ground without the presence of the Father, he's not talking about the presence of the Father. He's talking about the knowledge of the Father. Nothing happens that he is not present while it happens. He's right there with you. And sometimes he's crying with you. And sometimes he's urging you on. And sometimes he's holding you back. And sometimes he's steering you. And sometimes he's just taking your head and putting it on his shoulder and telling you, just go on and cry. Go on and cry. We'll pick this thing up again. You see, sometimes we think that all we have, the courage, is the roar of the lion in the morning. Well, sometimes it's the little voice in the evening that says, go on, go to bed. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. That's courage. I remember when my wife and I came from Joburg and we bought a property in Honest River, Sherwood Park. I was a few days away from the owner repossessing it. I had nothing. In those days, I bought 27 acres with the house, swimming pool, and a number of other buildings for 220,000 rand in Andres. Those were the days, my friends. Anyway, and so I had received a letter from the guy that I didn't have money to pay, so 6 months deed of sale, and in a few weeks' time, he was going to repossess. So I'll never forget, one morning, I walked out, Sherwood Park, right across. There was nothing on the other side of the National Road. Now it's all built and stuff and everything, and some beautiful people live there. But on the other side, there was just a mountain. And so I remember getting out and going like this, devil, I'm going up the mountain, and I'm going to have me a big cry and a good cry. But when I come back, I'll kick your head in just like I did yesterday. Amen. And I went up to the mountain. Okay, let's get back down. And sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you need to get upset with God and tell him, why don't I understand what's going on? Well, Jesus did it. Why? Why have you forsaken me? That's not spiritual part. Well, then speak to Jesus. His boat was sinking on the cross. And he cried out, why? I know not you, only the ones that didn't come. But the ones that didn't come, sometimes ask, why is this happening? And so, God knows what's happening. And the third message that we get from the pilot, seeing that my organ player is proceeding to the front row, with a silent message that your time is almost up. So the third thing that the pilot said, message that he says, let me pilot. We're going through a storm. The plane is bouncing up and down. Let me pilot. Let me get into your boat. Let me pilot. Don't get behind the controls. Let me do my job. And trust me to do it. Trust me to fly this thing. Trust me. There was a father that used to sing to his pregnant wife. He used to put his mouth next to her swollen belly and sing little love songs to his little baby inside his wife. And one day the little baby was born. And for some reason, he wasn't doing too well. And he was crying and crying and crying. You know, the only time when he stopped is when the father would come home and start singing. And then he would hear the voice of the father and remembered when everything was well. And he was safe. And he was happy. And that voice brought comfort. So, if you're going through a storm, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to read you my translation of Psalm 91. Because this is your captain speaking. You who live in God's heart, remember in whose presence you stand. Say this, Abba, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you. I am your father. I rescue you from hidden traps and shield you from danger. My outstretched arms protect you. Under them you are perfectly safe. I'll make sure that no harm gets to you. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of the wild wolves in the night. And I'll take care of the flying arrows in the day. I will not allow disease nor disaster to hurt you. Do not fear. Even though others might fail all around, I'll make sure the enemy will not defeat you. You stand strong, watching it all from a distance. Yes. Because you have made me your refuge and your home, evil cannot get close to you. Harm cannot get through my door. I've ordered my angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. You will walk unharmed among problems and difficulties. You might go through some storms, but it will soon pass. If you'll hold on to me, no matter what, I'll get you out of trouble. This is your captain speaking. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only let me lead and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you. And when you think I've left, I will show up with peace, a long life, and a great drink of salvation. Would you stand with me, please?